were able to chew on that a little bit, and you were able to activate a few of the things that we talked about at the very end. I told you, I am one that I want to read the scripture, but I want to know how to apply it today, right now. I think Lisa just told us how to apply it, didn't she? It's pretty amazing. All right. We're going to have a little fun today, and I'm really glad that some of the young people are staying in with us because I brought fruit snacks. I did. We can have fun in church, can't we? Amen. It's okay. Why do you think I brought fruit snacks? Okay. We're going to touch on that a little bit, but then we're going to dig in deeper. We are going to talk a little bit about the fruit of the Spirit. That's in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. For those of you that brought your sword, I know some people's sword is on their phone nowadays, but I still believe in there's something powerful in reading the Holy Scripture in the Bible. There really is. And I'm not downplaying if you read your Bible on your phone. I'm just saying. This is the living Word of God. It functions, it activates, it moves, it speaks. Anyway, let's get to the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. 22 and 23, actually. But the Holy, I'm reading in the New Living Translation, by the way. And it says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these. Let's reverse back here just a little bit to the word fruit. Does Paul say in this scripture, but the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience? No, he doesn't. He says the fruit. We're talking singular here. I brought an apple. That's fruit, right? And how many of us, when we were younger, we saw this cornucopia and it had oranges and grapes and bananas and apples, and they used that as an example of the fruits of the Spirit, right? I'm going to make a profound statement to you here. That's not what we're talking about. It's not the fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Now, you look at this apple and it has characteristics that make you believe that this is an apple. If I told you this was an orange, you wouldn't believe me, would you? Now, I asked Mr. Big Mike Stockton if I could use him, so I'm going to have him come up real quick. And I'm going to use this as an example. Now, there's characteristics about this apple. What are some characteristics when I hold this up that you can see that make you believe that this is an apple? Anybody? It's red. It's color. Okay. Anything else? The stem. There's a stem. Okay. So if Mr. Mike is walking down the street, Lisa, come up here too. And Lisa's walking down the street. Would you believe me if I told you that this was Mike? No. Because the characteristics that Mike bears are some curly hair. He's tall. He has hands the size of Goliath. I shook his hand today, and I honestly can tell you, they're an order hand. Look at that. Just up, 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 up. I got big hands, but they're nothing compared to Mike's. He has blue eyes. What's that?
I didn't know that.
Okay. Those are characteristics that make him who he is. Right? But if I told you that all of those characteristics combine is what make Mike who he is. Just like this apple. It's red. It has a stem. It has seeds inside of it. It has a texture that's different than any other fruit. Right? Lisa's short. She has longer hair. Her eyes are green. And her hands are tiny. Characteristics. Okay? Okay, you guys can have a seat. Thank you. So when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, we talk about different characteristics in a fruit. Different flavors in a fruit. Okay? So when we want to pick one, Let's just think about this from a perspective of how Christ, or how God sees us, okay? God sees us through the blood of Jesus Christ, and he sees the righteousness of Christ on us. That's what the scripture tells us, right? But when we have the Holy Spirit in us, when we accept Jesus as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes, and we don't have one flavor of fruit. Amen? We have every flavor of fruit. We have every characteristic. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Well, today I am short on patience. Get over it. You have it. Use it. Today I am not showing that person love because they are not doing what I want them to do. Don't pick up that offense like I spoke last time, right? Get over it. The love of Christ needs to shine through, right? So we have the fruit of the Spirit. They're divine characteristics that form in people who walk in the Spirit. That's exactly what that definition of it is. Now that word form means to ripen or come to maturity. So when you accept Jesus into your life, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're a ripe piece of fruit and you have everything at every capacity. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. No, it needs to mature. It needs to grow. The seed that's planted, scripture tells us, one plants, one waters, but God brings the increase. So that maturity comes as we start to dive into the word, as we start to build relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ. That maturity comes, and it doesn't just come in kindness or in patience, or in gentleness, the whole thing. We gotta have the whole thing, the whole fruit, nothing but the fruit, so help me God. I made that up, by the way. All right, we're gonna pick one of these characteristics, one of these flavors today. And I really felt like the Holy Spirit was sharing this with me. I'll tell you, honestly, I was texting my Aunt Karen, and I told her, I said, my script has been flipped about 3 times since the last time I was up to speak. I was in Colossians 3. I was dealing with Manasseh and Ephraim. I had lots of stuff stirring. I'm like, I don't want confusion here. God, show me exactly what I need to speak to this community today. And I really felt like he put this in my spirit, that I'm going to speak to you about kindness, and we're going to go to the word. And we're going to dive into this a little bit. Now, this is one flavor of, one characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit. How many of you believe the Spirit existed in the beginning? John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God. That means we had the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in the beginning. Some people argue and say, well, no, the Holy Spirit didn't exist until Jesus ascended and he sent the Comforter. False. The Holy Spirit existed in the very beginning. And you can read through the Old Testament and you can begin to see places where people were filled with the Spirit. People began to see things in the Spirit, right? So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But what we're going to do is we're going to highlight David's covenant with Jonathan and God's covenant with us, and we're going to talk about kindness, okay? So let's go to 2 Samuel. And we're going to start out in chapter 4, verse 4 of 2 Samuel. How many of you like true crime shows? I know my wife does. How many of you like war movies? Some of you, right? I'm here to tell you, if you read the book of 2 Samuel, you get true crime, you get war, and you even get a little bit of horror flick. It just covers the base. You know, there's a reason that David wasn't allowed to build the temple. Solomon built the temple because David was even a man after God's own heart, but he had blood on his hands. He was a warrior, okay? There's a reason for that, and that's a whole another piece of history that you could dive into, but we're not going to go there today. But in 2 Samuel, we see all of this taking place. We see the battles that David won, and you know, people being killed and struck down and all kinds of stuff going on. We're going to be 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4. We're going to talk about Mephibosheth. Who was he? Verse 4 says, Saul's son Jonathan had a son named Mephibosheth. Can you say that three times fast? Mephibosheth, Mephibosheth, Mephibosheth. I bet you can't say it three times real fast. Do it. You messed up on the second one. I could hear it. Mephibosheth, Sheth, Mephibosheth, who was crippled as a child. He was 5 years old when the report came from Jezreel that Saul and Jonathan had been killed in battle. When the child's nurse heard the news, she picked him up and she fled. But as she hurried away, she dropped him and he became crippled. So what do we see here? We see an heir to the throne. Now, a little history on this. Saul was a king that the Israelites demanded that they had. But if you go back further, God was basically telling him, you don't need a king. Same thing with Samuel. He was saying, you don't need a king. And the Israelites were like, we need a king. No, you don't need a king. You have a savior. We need a king. And finally God said, okay. This is what you want. This is what you're going to have. And what we have is a king that is less than stellar, Saul. He had a son, Jonathan. Jonathan and David were buddies, and they had a covenant. And the scripture tells us that they loved each other. How many of you have covenants with your buddies? I have my best friend is my brother-in-law, and he is like a sounding board for me in a lot of things, and I believe that we have a covenant, right? Well, God has a covenant with us too, amen? Just like Jonathan and David had a covenant. Let's move to, I'm going to chew on this a little bit. So I teach a Bible study in our church on Wednesday nights, and we're doing the priestly garments of the ancient Israel. And we're in the breastplate and all the stones in the breastplate. Each stone has a significance, and each stone has a name of the tribe that is inscribed on the stone, right? One thing I realized when we're going through this is names meant something in that day. When a child was born, they were given a name, and oftentimes, technically, that name was prophetic. Sometimes it was because of what the parents went through in order to have that child. Other times, it was a declaration over that child that was a prophetic declaration, okay? And you see that in the children of Israel, or in the tribes of Israel. They were the sons, 10 of the 12 sons of Jacob and 2 sons of Joseph. But the names that were given them for a reason, and many of those were very prophetic. Well, Mephibosheth's name, I wanted to bring this out today. The significance of Mephibosheth's name and the meaning of it. Mephibosheth means breathing shame. Now, he was actually, early on, he was named Mephibibaal. Baal, or some people would say Baal, B-A-A-L. And that his name was actually changed to Mephibosheth. So Baal, actually in the Hebrew, means Lord. So think about that. From when he was born as an heir to the throne. He was born the son of Jonathan, who was the son of Saul, who was the king. In those days, when the king was ready to move on or killed, or there was an overthrow, the people would come and they would kill off every bit of the family of that king so that they wouldn't rise up and have something to say about, well, you know, this is my kingdom, actually. So this explains why the nurse took Mephibosheth and she ran off, because she was going to protect him, because she did not want him to be killed off because Saul and Jonathan had died in battle, right? Knowing that there was a new regime, a regime change, we'll call that, that was going to be happening. Anyway, he was crippled. Well, they changed his name from Mephibibaal to Mephibosheth. And the Bosheth part actually means shame. So his name, Mephibosheth, means breathing shame. So we think about the story. Let's get to the story. And we'll go to 2 Samuel chapter 9. And we're going to read verses 1 through 12, which is the whole story of Mephibosheth, early story. There's much, much more as he grows old, but we're not going to go there today. So I told you we were talking about kindness, right? And so far I've talked about horror flicks and true crime and war movies. If you read through 2 Samuel, that's what you're going to see, though. But there is a section of scripture here in chapter 9 that we see the display of kindness. It says, one day David asked, is there any in Saul's family still alive? Anyone who I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? He summoned a man named Ziba who had been one of Saul's servants. Are you Ziba? The king asked. Yes, sir, I am, Ziba replied. The king then asked, is there anyone still alive from Saul's family? If so, I want to show kindness to them. Ziba replied, yes, one of Jonathan's sons is still alive. He's crippled in both feet. Where is he? The king asked. In Lo Debar, Ziba had told him, at the home of Machan, son of Ammiel. Well, just so you know, the name Lo Debar means no pasture. So think of this. You got a guy that lives thinking, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Lo Debar means no pasture. So David sent for him, and they brought him from Machan's home. His name was Mephibosheth. He was Jonathan's son and Saul's grandson. When he came to David, he bowed low to the ground in deep respect. David said, greetings, Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth replied, I am your servant. Do not be afraid, David said. I intend to show you kindness, to show kindness to you because of my promise to your father Jonathan. Here we go. We're talking about the covenant. I will give you all of the property that once belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will eat here with me at the king's table. Mephibosheth bowed respectfully and exclaimed, who is your servant that you would show such kindness to a dead dog like me? Then the king summoned Saul's servant Ziba and said, I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons will be servants and are to farm the land for him and produce food for your master's household. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, will eat here at my table. Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Ziba replied, yes, my lord, the king, I am your servant, and I will do all that you have commanded. And from that time on, Mephibosheth ate regularly at David's table like one of the king's own sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah. From then on, all of the members of Ziba's household were Mephibosheth's servants, and Mephibosheth, who was crippled in both feet, lived in Jerusalem and ate regularly at the king's table. So what do we see here? We see a man who embodied shame, okay? His name literally meant breathing shame. But this, what this reflects is a guy that thought of himself as a dead dog. He was orphaned. He was destitute. He was living in a land with no pasture. How many times do we find ourselves in that place? Where we feel like, God, where are you? Did you forsake me? Did you turn your back on me? What's going on? Sometimes we find ourselves in that place. We're Christian people. We believe in Jesus. We believe in God and the Holy Spirit. But sometimes we find ourselves in that place. Let's be honest. Sometimes we have that feeling of inadequacy. Guess what? You are. But Jesus, right? The blood of Jesus is what covers us. And God sees us. He sees the righteousness of Christ on us. But sometimes we feel that way. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean times aren't going to get tough. Scripture tells us it rains on the just and the unjust. So there's going to be times when you're going to have to go through trial by fire. And you just hope God shows his kindness. You just hope he shows up and says, you know what? I'm here, just like Lisa said, I'm going to be your rear guard. I'm going to take up the tail and make sure that you get through safe. Doesn't mean it's not hard. In his own eyes, Mephibosheth defined himself with shame and worthlessness. He referred to himself as a dead dog. But we see shame being turned to glory, right? We see that David's grace, which is, you know, everything in the Old Testament, we see in the Old Testament, we hear the Old Testament's for our learning and the New Testament's for our living, but the Old Testament, we see types and shadows. We see evidence of things pointing to Jesus and stuff pointing to God and the Holy Spirit. We see those things if we take them and let that blueprint play out. But what we see in this story is we see the same kindness that God shows to us is what David shows to Mephibosheth. Did Mephibosheth deserve it? In that time, they would have killed him. They would have just said, you're a descendant of the old guard, of the old regime, you're out. And your family. And everybody that has anything to do with you. You think he was a little scared when he came into the courtroom, when David summons him in? He's like, I'm going to lose my head here. I mean, isn't it enough that my feet are broken up and I can't walk and I have a hard time getting around? And I mean, I'm your servant. I'm a dead dog. David says, no. I'm going to give you all the land that was yours in the beginning. And I'm gonna give you servants. And they're gonna farm it for you to produce. And guess what? You're gonna eat at my table every day for as long as you live. Doesn't God do that for us? He takes the shame away. You know what? Most of us did something yesterday, maybe even this morning, maybe this last week, and we're like, man, I sinned. I'm sorry. And we think that God's going to say, well, you know what? Sometimes sorry isn't good enough. And that's not what he says. That's not what he says. When we say I'm sorry, what we should be saying is, I want to repent. I don't want to do this again. I want to live a life pleasing to you. I want to do the right thing. But I'm human. I make mistakes. I get it. Grace is not a license to sin, but it's still grace. It's still something that is unmerited favor. It's David giving Mephibosheth all of Saul's kingdom. The Lord wants to give you blessings. He enjoys it. Now what do you have to do? You got to accept it. You got to be willing to say, I'm less than stellar, but because Jesus died on the cross, I'm going to claim that inheritance because I am a child of the King. I'm adopted into that kingship. Can you do that today? Can you allow the kindness of God to come upon you? It's hard for me sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, I screwed up bad. How in the world can you forgive this? But he does. Every time, all the time, and twice on Sunday. Amen? That's the goodness of God. We sang a song this morning about the goodness of God. Do you believe it when you sing it? Do you believe it when you read it? Do you believe it when you say it? I hope you do. Because he's a good, good father. And he wants to bless you. He wants to give you all of the things that belong to you as an inheritance. Some of you might not physically get much inheritance because your parents didn't set aside for you. You know what? That's okay. Because God has an inheritance that's far beyond what our imagination would even allow us to understand. But are you going to accept it? Are you going to allow him to be kind to you? This is what we call divine redemption. Mephibosheth, like Mephibosheth, all people are spiritually lame and separated from God due to their own shame, their own sin. David's unconditional kindness toward Mephibosheth mirrors God's grace towards humanity. The story of Mephibosheth, the man of shame, who was brought to the king's table, can be seen in an illustration of unmerited favor and redemption. Do we see the type and shadow here? How many of you are willing to accept kindness? It's easy to accept kindness from your neighbor. It's easy to accept kindness from your brother and sister in Christ. But it might not be easy to accept that kindness from God himself. Because we think too oftentimes he's so here, and I'm so unworthy. And like I said earlier, you are. But because of Jesus Christ, we possess the inheritance. I like to be kind to my kids. Sometimes they disappoint me in some of the choices they make, but they're still my kids. One adopted, one biological, and that doesn't matter. They're still my kids. Sometimes I want to tell them and just shake them. If you only knew. I'll just share a quick story. My youngest son is in the Army, and I may have shared this. And we went back to his basic training graduation. And he says to me and Lisa, we were sitting at a dinner table, and he goes, you know, there's about 50% of these people shouldn't be in this man's Army. And he says, and some of these guys, they just don't get it. If they would just do what they're told. And I'm like, what? How many times did I say this to you? And you finally got it because some drill sergeant was beating you down with it? That's what it took. And then he comes back and he says, thanks, Dad. Thanks, Dad, for always being kind and showing me grace. And loving me no matter the choices and decisions I made. God does that for us. Shouldn't we take the time to say, thanks, Dad. I appreciate what you've done. Thanks for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross so that my sin is not just covered, but it's clean, it's wiped away. Thank you for the inheritance. Thank you for looking upon me and seeing the righteousness of Jesus rather than looking upon my shame and my sin. Guess what God does? He invites us to his table so we can start to eat the good stuff, right? All right, so I told you that I'm gonna give you some things to take away, right? Because we need to be able to practically apply this to our lives today. So here's the first one. Write this down if you're taking notes. Because we live in a sinful and broken world, being a child of God does not protect us from suffering. He made that statement, it rains upon the just and the unjust. So if you're suffering in a situation, understand that sometimes it happens. But God brings us through it. Let's go for number two. We must make the choice to accept the Lord's kindness. We have our own free will, right? We have the ability to make that choice. And sometimes it's hard for us. Sometimes our arrogant personalities of being human beings get in the way. I can do it on my own. I don't need your help. Oh, but you do. We have to take a posture that's different. That posture needs to change. Instead of puffing our chest, I can handle this on my own. Mike, I'm using you again. I'm Big Mike. Nothing can get past me. I'm as big as a wall. No, Mike and everybody else's posture needs to change. Lord, use me. Be kind to me, because I can't do it on my own. Change your posture. Maybe a little humility sometimes is what our fleshly, arrogant self needs to come to. And I'm not calling you guys arrogant. I'm just saying this as a general, in our flesh, if we allow our flesh to take over, we are not what we think we are. In our flesh, we're shameful. In our flesh, we're sinners. In our flesh, our decision making is not very good. But in the Spirit, we can make these decisions and choices, and we receive the blessing of God. Changing of posture. So we have to accept the kindness. That was number two. Third one's a little bit long. There's no one like our God. His words are true, and he has promised us good things. But sometimes life gets painful, and like Mephibosheth, during our pain, we may choose to turn away from him and look for comfort and security in places that we don't belong. But like David, who sought out Mephibosheth to show him kindness, our father seeks us out. Did you hear that? David sought out Mephibosheth. Is there anyone in the kingdom that is still a descendant of Saul? And my friend Jonathan. Ziba says, yes, there is. Go get him. Go get him. God does the same thing for us. When Dan falls on his face because he's caught up in the fleshly things of life sometimes, God's like, I'm coming to get you. We know the story about the shepherd goes away for the one. Sometimes we're the one. And God comes after you. He chases after you. And then you have the choice to make. Are you going to like let him cradle you up and throw you over his shoulders like the shepherds do and carry you back to the fold? Right? He chases after you. Just like David sought out Mephibosheth to show him kindness, our Father seeks us out to show us kindness. Romans 2, verse 4. I love this scripture. Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? So we hear the adage, his kindness leads us to repentance, right? That's what that scripture is. That's just in the New Living Translation is all. The kindness of God draws us away from our sin. Let me say that again. The kindness of God draws us away from our sin. So when we have an opportunity to make a choice, a sinful choice, we kind of have to stop and reel a little bit and think, If I do this, sin separates us from God. That's scriptural, right? But the grace of Jesus is what covers us. But we can still separate ourselves if we just continue to just allow that to take over. But knowing the kindness of God, knowing the kindness of Christ, knowing the kindness and the comfort of the Holy Spirit in our life allows us to make the choice to not make a bad choice. It allows us to be drawn away from the sin. I know my wife prays over my kids that, that they're repulsed. Just speak it real quick. Say it again. They cling to what is good and they are repulsed by what is evil. And that's what I would ask that you guys pray over yourselves. Pray over your family, but pray over yourselves. God, I want to cling to you and what is good, and I want to be repulsed by what is evil, because your kindness leads me away from my sin. You see the theme here? This is a central theme that we're seeing in that story of Mephibosheth. Here's the last one. The incredible kindness that we receive from our Lord should motivate us to spread it to others. This motivation is called the good news. So, when you see the kindness of God all over your life because you've chose to accept it, don't you want to share it? Or do you want to just keep it to yourself? I want to share it. I want to show the kindness. Because God was kind to me. And when we spread the good news, what does Scripture say? In Isaiah 52:7, it says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings the good news." How beautiful is it that you allow the kindness of God to shine through you and that everybody else gets an opportunity to take part in the characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit? Right? That's what we're talking about. We're talking about a flavor of the fruit of the Spirit. God's kindness is a flavor, it's a characteristic. And if we bear the Holy Spirit, we have that same flavor. We want to share it. We want to project it. And we want to show people the kindness that leads them to Jesus, because he's going to show them kindness. They're going to get saved. And the kingdom advances because of it. Right? That's what we want to be a part of. I need you guys. I brought some fruit snacks. Now, these fruit snacks, they have all kinds of different flavors in them. But guess what? They're in the same package. They're in one package, just like this apple. It has characteristics that prove that it's an apple. Well, these are fruit snacks, I'm guaranteeing you. They are not liver and onions. You guys, you're welcome to hand those out. Just go ahead and hand them out. I brought fruit snacks today, and I want you guys to take a fruit snack, and I want you to eat one, and I want you to think of the kindness that David showed to Mephibosheth. And then the next one I want you to eat, you can eat it today, you can eat it tomorrow, you can eat it right now, you can keep it in your car for the week and let them all melt together and pop them in your mouth at the same time. I don't care. But every single one of these that you eat are a different flavor. And I want you to think about that this week as you go through this week. My patience is waning thin. I need a little patience, God. And allow that maturity of patience to take place in your life. I'm having a hard time being kind to this dude because he's rubbing me wrong. Take a bite of kindness. Let it mature in your spirit. My neighbor is evil. But I'm told, because of a covenant, the second covenant, that works, by the way, to love my neighbor as myself. I can like them, but I can't love them. No. You need to love them. You need to love them into the kingdom is what you need to do. Sometimes in dealing with your spouse or your kids, you need a little gentleness. Hey, Lisa, you want to take a double portion of that? I'm joking. Sometimes you have to handle people with a little gentleness. Pop one of these flavors in and say, yeah, I need a little work on my gentleness today. You see what I'm getting at with this? We capitalize on kindness. But I seriously, I want you guys to think about that as you eat your fruit snacks. It's one fruit, not multiple fruits, with many different characteristics. And you don't get to pick and choose which one you get and which one you don't. You get them all. Now function in them. But I really, really, really want you to function in kindness, because that is what's going to draw people to Jesus. You've heard the adage, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. If you continue to show kindness to people, it'll lead them to Jesus, and they will partake because he's good. And once they receive that flavor, they won't deny it. How many of us here have had an experience with Jesus? There's nobody that can tell you he's not real. Amen? If you've had a true experience with Jesus and you've tasted and saw that the Lord is good, nobody, beyond nobody, can tell you any different. See where I'm going with that? So I'm not going to pull up the prayer team here, but I want us all to, I talked earlier about making the exchange. How many of you are willing to commit, I need to be kind? Lord, I want to have that kindness of David. I want to have the kindness of God, the kindness of Jesus. Jesus was kind. We see all through the Gospels in his life how kind he was to people. And what did it do? It drew them to him. Now, it's not about you. It's about him. But we still have to project that flavor. We have to project that, you know. We got in the car this morning, and I put some of my son's cologne on this morning because I'm like, I'm going to smell good today. And Lisa's like, geez, did you bathe in that stuff? Roll the window down. Like, I'm just trying to smell good for my smoking hot wife, Lisa. We need to project the flavor of kindness, of the fruit, of gentleness, patience, self-control, love, joy. Joy! That's a big one, isn't it? All right. So that's what I want from you guys today. I want you to just think about these fruit snacks all week long and say, Lord, let me project the flavor. And if you're waning low on one of them, pop one in. Remind yourself, I'm maturing. I am ripening in the fruit for the furthering of the kingdom of God. That's what it's for. Like I said, it's not about you. It's about him. And drawing people to be closer to Jesus. All right, we're going to pray. And if there's anybody that does need anything, if you have a need and you want to cry out, like what Lisa was talking about, after service, John, Becky, why don't you guys just plant yourself right up here? If somebody needs prayer today after service, I'm going to have you come up and pray with them. Is that all right? But right now, I'm going to pray. So let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your spirit. I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for your kindness. Lord, I just ask right now that you just stir the waters in the hearts and minds of the people today, and that the word that was spoken today, that it bears the fruit, that they ripen, and they become mature in the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. Father, I just ask right now that you speak to them directly, each and every person in this building and each and every person that's watching the service online. Father, just speak to them directly about how much you love them and about their inheritance in you and how good you are to them. Father, there may be people going through painful places in their life, but Lord, just reassure them that you hold them in your hands. Reassure them that your kindness is all over them. Father, I just ask right now again, that the water be stirred. Those that need healing, Lord, that healing takes place even right now as we're lifting you up. Father, the healing upon the body, not just the body of individual bodies, but the body of believers. Lord, I just ask for a healing to take place in this congregation, in this community, in this state, in this nation. Lord, I believe right now that the water is stirred and we're stepping in and we're getting the healing that's promised to us, Lord. Father, we just lift you up. We sang today that your name is above every name. We declared your name, Lord, and we just declare it as we go this week. We declare your name over every situation and all things. Father, I thank you and I praise you for today and the opportunity to just be your mouthpiece and speak about your kindness, Lord. Lord, we give you glory. It's about you. It's not about us. It's about you. We give you honor. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen.